Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time for your dose of music news. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right, how are you?
Gary Graff, our music expert. Because Brian can't do it. Rock can't do it. I can't do it. We got to go someplace else. We got to outsource that.
Happy to be the guy to do it.
I'm going to start with a weird one here. Leon Russell's house items are up for sale. Now, I don't know anything about Leon Russell other than me seeing him do what he did. Right?
But I just the music.
I picture his house as being kind of a hoarder's house and dusty and having a distinct smell to it.
It's the beard, isn't it?
I don't know what it is,
it's
but
that
Leon
big beard that he had.
For all I know, Leon kept an impeccable home. Is that possible?
It looks like it was neat enough. This is his home in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. He's near Nashville. Leon Russell is most famously from Oklahoma, but he was living in Tennessee. And there isn't evidence of that hoarding. There is a bunch of furniture and household items that are going to be part of this auction that takes place May 31st.
Is there anything in the house, anything that you would go, that'd be kind of cool to have? Maybe Leon Russell's cane or something, or one of his hats?
He had some special African masks. Some of the furniture's antiques.
Nope, just like I figured it looked.
Chairs. There is some musical equipment. There's some keyboards, drums, some other things. So, you can get something that Leon Russell played music on, which would probably be the coolest thing you could get out of that house.
All right. Since we're talking about real estate and things like that, Judas Priest, things went kind of south there.
South for one of them, not for the whole band, actually. Actually, for a former member, K.K. Downing, the guitar player. He apparently invested in some sort of golf resort, and it went belly up. Did not do what it was supposed to do. So he is selling off the rights to more than 130 songs that he co-wrote, including...
Wow, how belly up did this thing go?
He needs to generate between $340,000 and $400,000.
Wow!
He's offering up the rights to You've Got Another Thing Coming, Breaking the Law, Painkiller. Yeah, some really, really well-known.
Yikes!
This is a course in England, by the way. And I guess it was built with the hopes that they would get the British Open on this course, and that didn't transpire. And
this is one of those times in your life where you just sit and think, if I'd have done nothing, I'd be so much better off.
This is the case too. So K.K. Downing quit Judas Priest in 2011, somewhat acrimoniously, and has not been particularly nice in his absence either. In talking about either his replacement or other things. So this is almost like a karmic thing. Coming back to get him.
Boy, getting a PGA Open to your town is really, it's been the ruin of a few people here.
It could be. KK, by the way, is putting out a memoir in September about his days in Judas Priest. So he'll get a little money from that to pay off the debt.
All right.
All right, here's a third real estate thing, the Van Zandt home.
Yeah, this is actually kind of cool. So this is the home in Jacksonville, Florida, where Ronnie, Donnie, and Johnny Van Zandt grew up. Ronnie, of course, founded Lynyrd Skynyrd, which Johnny is now in. Donnie was with 38 Special. So this house is now being dedicated a heritage site, which is like a historic site. Not like a historic site. It is a historic site.
So does somebody live in the house now?
Yeah, there is a family.
Okay, so it's not like it's going to be turned into a museum or anything. It's just going to be... tagged historical.
It'll have a plaque.
Right.
It'll have a plaque.
Now, are they going to, once it's deemed a historical site, you have to get permission from the city or whatever committee runs those things before you can paint it, remodel it, add anything? Because they want to keep it the way it is, right?
In most cases, yes, that's what you have to do.
I would fight a historical designation on my home with tooth and nail if they wanted to do it.
It depends. I mean, there are, you can cash in on that historical status in some ways. I mean, there are people who have historical homes around the country who have made it a little bit of a cottage industry and, with merchandise and other things. And, and cashed in on it a little way. So you can always do that.
Does it sort of screw up the neighborhood or something? I mean,
it depends on the traffic, you know, that comes in. I mean, if a ton of people come down this street in Jacksonville wanting to see where the Van Zandt brothers were, you know, yeah, it could create a little chaos if it's just a plaque and nobody comes to see it.
So I have to ask again, have you seen this house?
I have not seen this house. I've seen pictures of this house. And, you know, it's nothing major. You know, it's not a mansion or anything. It's kind of a nice family dwelling.
No, because the Van Zandts weren't rich before Ronnie hit it big. They were just the Van Zandts, right?
Right. And so, you know, and then they moved their parents at a certain point after they got some money.
A couple of places in Racine that might want to designate.
Yeah. You know, why not? There is one other, the real estate story that just came out this morning, a custom-built home from 1971 for the Doors' Robbie Krieger is hitting the market with an asking price of $13.9 million in Bel Air, California. It's apparently hexagon-shaped with a hexagon-shaped pool to go with it.
Well, let's hope you're into six-sided objects if you pick up that one.
And he no longer resides there, by the way. He sold it a while ago, but it was built for him.
But the new owners are saying, yeah, we'll let it go for $13 million.
For a cool bargain price.
Well, here's a guy who can't afford to buy that place. Kevin Federline, this guy is sniffing around, or isn't even sniffing around. He's come around for more cash from Brittany, right?
Right. What he's saying is that he cannot keep up with the standard of living that Brittany has set for their sons. So, in other words, she still makes a lot of money. She's able to do things for her son. So he's filing for, he gets child support.
Maybe the weekends at dad's have to be camping in the backyard and things like that. It's not staying at the Bellagio or something.
Well,
maybe dad should just
acquaint
the kids with,
a more
life in my world.
Right.
Get this, though. I mean, his current rate of child support is $20,000 a month.
A month? Not a year. A month.
He's supposed to spend that on the kids, not himself.
So he's asking now for $60,000 a month.
This guy, if I'm the judge, I am bouncing him out the door.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he has a certain rep that he's cultivated for himself.
What is he even doing?
Now he's being Kevin Federline. He's turned being Kevin Federline, being Britney Spears' ex-husband from a drunken night, as he's turned that into a cottage industry.
But it doesn't pay well, apparently, if he needs more money.
It doesn't pay well enough. This is the thing that comes with this. So it doesn't matter what his income is. She is the one who's paying child support. So that's the money. That's the money that's measured for keeping the boy's lifestyle to what they've become accustomed to.
How is he supporting his daughter?
He's not suing that mother for anything.
Yeah. What happens to that?
He does. Child. He still works as a backup dancer and a DJ at things.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, Will Smith. He's working on something for the World Cup.
He's working on a lot. Actually, Will's a busy boy these days. So it was just announced this week that he is one of the singers on the anthem for this year's World Cup. Every year, you know, FIFA has learned to do the companion album soundtrack thing to cash in a little more. They always have an anthem, so it's Will Smith and Nicky Jam, along with a Kosovan singer named Ira Itzferi. Ira Itzferi. And they're going to do the theme, the anthem, for the 2018 FIFA World Cup, which we'll probably hear next month, as much as the World Cup begins this summer.
All right, so they have to get that done. Who is going to do the next Bond theme?
We don't know yet, but we're waiting.
Do we have a short list? Do we have a list?
We do have a list. Now, the apparent front runner, according to the British bookies, who of course do book on most everything or do bet on most everything, is it's Dua Lipa, who is a young up-and-coming British singer. She was on Saturday Night Live this year. And so she's the bookmaker's favorite. But she has said she doesn't know anything about it yet. But in typical Bond fashion, you don't know.
And this is the Daniel Craig back to Bond.
This will be Daniel Craig back into it. Some of the other candidates are Ed Sheeran, Adele again, apparently, which would surprise me, Jesse J. is also one of the favorites.
Who did the last
one? Ed Sheeran, really? Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, you don't see him doing a Bond. You know, maybe like a love theme for one of the later scenes or something.
It's supposed to be a woman, right? I mean,
no, it doesn't have to be.
No, Duran has done it. McCartney's done it.
Yeah, Duran. So you know, Sam Smith.
Right, he was the last one, right? Sam Smith. Yeah.
Right.
So, and Sam Smith is.
Well, and Jack White played on one.
Okay.
So but there have been men. There's no reason they can't do it.
Who'd you like to see do it? The Beach Boys, or not the Beach Boys? You don't want a dude.
Yeah,
you don't want a dude.
Well,
me?
Yeah, you.
I don't mind a dude.
No, I'm talking Brian.
I don't know. I just always kind of classically thought it was like a woman's job to sing about
how
sexy Bond was all the time.
Really something over there.
I think it's time for a metal Bond thing, like Iron Maiden.
Really?
We had Guns N' Roses.
How about Todd Hoffman?
Oh, there you go. You know, Todd's given up gold mining. You know that, right?
I saw that, yes.
Yeah, he's singing now.
Have you heard any of his stuff?
I have not. I'm sure I will be. I'm sure I won't be able to escape it at some point.
Well, it's your job.
That exactly.
It's your job.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a job, not an adventure.
You don't need to tell Gary what his job is.
I have to go completely off track here, Gary, because I have a friend who is a huge Ghost fan.
Oh,
fan.
So am I.
And he has been asking me for the last couple of weeks, ask Gary about the new Ghost album. It's coming out on June 1st. Ask him about Ghost. They're coming to town, all that. Okay, so Ghost.
I'm a big fan of these guys. I mean, you know, when you're saying, and I saw them at a club when they first came over to the States. They're Swedish. And, you know, when you're sitting in a room with a bunch of people gleefully singing allegiance to Lucifer's son.
Really?
Nobody means it. I mean, this is an act, you know, it's just a great act. You know, the front man, his name's Tobias Forge, and it's him and a bunch of, they call the guys in the band Nameless Ghouls because they wear masks and, you know, costumes and stuff.
And that doesn't creep you out when a band is up on stage with masks on.
The whole thing, I guess it's one of those, you kind of have to be there, although I would tell you, go to YouTube and look at not just their videos, not just their music videos, but they do these kind of skit videos, and they're a riot. I mean, they play on religion, you know, they play on being anti-religion a little bit. Well, not a little bit. That's a big part of what they do. But you know what? The music's good. The act is very, very entertaining. Yeah, I've become a fan, and the new album, like you said, comes out June 1st, and it's good. You know, they continue to evolve and develop. As a band, what's interesting about them is kind of like Kiss in the early days, they maintained a high degree of anonymity for, I guess, the first 7-8 years that Ghost was in existence. Then last year, some former Nameless Ghouls, who Tobias Forge had fired, sued him in court in Sweden, and that made him reveal who everybody is, including himself.
The ghouls will be revealed.
Yep. So now it's a little more out in the open what they are, but they still keep the act intact. And I just saw the show here about a week ago.
Have you heard the album?
Yeah, and the album's good.
And you like it?
Yeah.
Okay,
all right. It's really melodic kind of metal. It's not
melodic,
you know, it's not
metal.
They call it. They like to call themselves death metal, but it's really much more melodic than that.
All right, and finally, the Stones. What, they shared their pre-show ritual?
Yeah, you know, they just started their European tour. Last week, and they're going to be there for a couple weeks doing stuff. And so one of the interviews, they let on what they do before a show. Mick Jagger apparently likes to get into his zone and maybe watch a video, listen to some Bob Marley music or some very current music, contemporary music. Charlie Watts, meanwhile, said that he and Keith Richards usually spend time together before a show listening to Duke Ellington or Keith will play Little Richard, and you know, they just kind of get themselves ready for a show that way. But apparently no Satanic Majesty's requests are
no
made or anything like that.
Jam and cake, so anything terribly British.
Nothing. I remember, you know, I went backstage during one of the tours, and they did have a massive green room. This was when Bill Wyman was still in the band, so he would play ping pong with anybody who wanted to. It was really good, by the way. And they had, you know, tons of food and drink, and everybody kind of hanging out.
They're the Stones. I would expect nothing less.
No, of course not.
I'd be disappointed if I showed up and it was really, like, where is everybody?
Well, I kind of, you know, whenever people talk to me about backstage things, and, ooh, you get to go backstage and this and that, I do pass along that more often than not, it's pretty low-key and even dull.
A lot of times you go backstage and all you hear is, you can't stand there.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Asking you to move. But even when you get into the inner sanctum, it's really people just kind of killing time before a show or after a show waiting for the buses to leave.
Yahtzee, chess, checkers, solitaire.
Yeah, not even that.
Yeah. Sudoku.
If it's like a game on TV, everybody will watch the game.
Yeah.
All right, Gary.
All right, you guys have a great holiday weekend.
You too.
We'll talk next week.
Catch up with you next Friday. Gary Graff. He's our music expert. You get him on Friday mornings here.